engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Friends, we will do it. It's never a matter of just one person. It's not a matter of just one candidate, one leader. It's we. We together will make America great again. And we don't do that all in one step. We do that over a long, long process. But this election is a critical moment in that process. I know you know that. And the integrity of our elections. I want to report to you some good news tonight about election integrity, progress being made. I want to look at several states as an example of very recent progress that has been made. You may or may not know about these developments, but it's important for all of us who care about the, you know, the trust and the confidence. Part of getting out the vote in an election is making sure that the trust and confidence of people in the process is as strong as it can reasonably be. And I think we have reason for our confidence to be increasingly strong. Let's talk about that here today. As always, we go to the Word of God. Let's, as we continue to celebrate in the Christian world in these days and weeks, the resurrection of Jesus, let us read the conclusion here of Mark's Gospel, verse 9 of chapter 16. Now, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Let us pray. Father, we appreciate today more than ever the power of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, because it is the power of that resurrection that we ultimately rely on to make America great again. That power working through us, the people, by the fact that we have accepted Christ by faith and baptism, and we are able to transform this world. Lord, free the hearts and minds of those who are afraid of Christ coming into their lives, of Christ coming into the voting booth, of Christ coming into the halls of power and lawmaking and executive action. Father, remove the fear that people have of welcoming the Savior. Because when he comes, that does not crush our freedom or restrict our rights. When he comes, we have the fullness of freedom, the perfection of fulfillment, the completion of joy. We have indeed all that it means to be saved. So let us welcome Christ. Let us proclaim Christ. Let us act and speak in Christ to renew and save this nation. Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of this election. We pray in the mighty name of the risen Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, people ask me, I'm sure you're involved in many of these conversations. We have voter trainings all over the country and election activities. And they ask me, you know, but the other side is going to cheat. They're going to cheat. How do we stop them from doing that? Well, the answer to that is, number one, we have, and I'm going to share with you a few examples, we have been successful on many fronts initiating election integrity efforts, whether it's new legislation to block up the holes, you know, where error and fraud might slip through, to strengthen the existing mechanisms to protect your ballot. We have several different key common sense pillars of election integrity around which these laws have focused, and you'll see those as we talk about these examples. And there have also been lawsuits, and we'll see an example of that here as well, a couple of examples. Lawsuits that challenge the slipshod and deceitful way, the arrogant and tyrannical way, we can say, that some have behaved when it comes to our elections. So, you know, some people say, oh, well, we can't keep looking back. You know, people who keep talking about the election of 2020. This is not a matter of looking back, even when we invoke what happened then. This is all about looking forward. This is all about the next election, the election we're in now, in which voting has already taken place in the primaries. This is about now. This is about right now, making sure that your vote counts and my vote counts and votes that should not be counted aren't counted. That's what this is about. So strengthening the confidence of people through the fact that there have been like 300 different laws enacted since the 2020 election to strengthen voter integrity. The awareness of it is through the roof, which is always a good thing. And there have been lawsuits, and many of these lawsuits have been won. We have also another dimension here, big answer to the question of what do we do? I mean, is there going to be fraud and cheating? There always is. But we have to make it by our turnout, as President Trump says, too big to rig. The turnout has to be so immense. The turnout from our side has to be so strong that the election is too big to rig. There's a margin of error. There's also a margin of fraud. And beyond which you can't go. In other words, a strong turnout from our side overwhelms the effort and ability of the left to cheat. So I want to give you a few key examples here. First of all, we already had in a previous episode some commentary about Wisconsin, but just to remind you, they have now become the 28th state, okay, to approve a measure to stop the Zuckerbucks, prevent, in other words, private funding from coming in for the administration of elections. Whether you identify with the left or the right, one commentator said, ensuring the fairness and integrity of our elections should be a shared priority. It should be. But enough with this private funding pouring in. And, you know, in Wisconsin, the Zuckerbucks, you know, as in so many other places, what did it do? It favored the Democrats, went into heavily Democrat areas for election administration. And lo and behold, the areas where it came in were mostly won by Biden. That's one thing. That's Wisconsin. Now, what's going on? Let's turn to, I'm going to look at, that was a legislative measure. I want to look at another bunch of legislative measures just approved in Georgia. Wisconsin is a key state. Georgia is another key state. We're going to look then at Illinois, and we're going to look at Pennsylvania. But in Georgia, the legislature has sent to the desk of the governor a lot of provisions here. We'll go through them. for the last couple of years, there was a good election integrity act passed back in 2021, and this more recent activity strengthens and builds on that. Okay. Georgia was riddled with irregularities and failures of integrity, but we still had to deal, and a lot of that was dealt with by the first round of legislation, but they still had to deal with public accountability and also the voter rolls not being cleaned up. Now, that's one of the key pillars of election integrity, along with voter identification, chain of custody, and so forth. We'll see some of that coming up here. First of all, cleaning up the voter rolls. You know, I run an organization. We have a big data list. Some of you do as well. You know you have to keep your data clean. You know you've got to get people who have died, you know, you take them off the list or at least mark them as deceased. People who have moved, you need to get the old address out of there and put the new address. Duplicates in the data. If you know anything about data management, you know, the dealing with duplicates is always a challenge. And there's all different ways of both preventing and eliminating duplicates, but it's a constant task. I've got people right now sitting in the other room every single day getting rid of duplicates from our data list. And we're just an organization. I mean, here we're talking about the government of a state. Clean the voter rolls. Every legal vote in Georgia should count and should not be diminished by illegitimate votes, one of the leaders of this effort said. The latest election integrity measures also make ballots cast upon being certified matters of public record. Now, here's the transparency part of it. And this should just be standard. The ballots become matters of public record so that election watchers can verify the results and detect counterfeit ballots. That's a solid step forward from a system where the ballots are just secretly counted in the machines. Strengthen the chain of custody. In other words, once your ballot leaves your hands, from that moment until the announcement of the election results, hopefully on election night, who handles your ballot? Where does it go? What steps of security are in place to protect it from manipulation or being lost in that whole process, the chain of custody? The latest measures there in Georgia strengthen the protections for that chain of custody, ensuring that there are no gaps in the ballot handling process. You know where it is at every step of the way. No gaps, no question marks. Oh, who got hold of it next? Or what happened between this and that? There should be no gaps. There should be no question marks. There should be no mysteries. Another provision in Georgia lays out standards for when individuals as well as parties can challenge invalid records in the voter roll. So this goes back to cleaning up the voter rolls. This bill allows challenges to those seeking to register to vote who are without a permanent residential address. It's like, who are you and where do you live? Challenges to those who reside outside the election jurisdiction or have declared a homestead exemption in a different municipality or county. These could be possible reasons for a challenge. Yeah, we should challenge that. There's also a set of standards now in place to challenge a vote. Any voter in Georgia can challenge a vote if they suspect potential fraud. Now, 95% of these challenges don't involve voters as much as they involve voting records that don't represent an actual voter. I remember when we were helping clean up some voter rolls, some of our team over here at Preach for Life and volunteering for a project, and we would come across, multiple, you look through the actual data and you see some suspicious red flags, like, you know, 17 different names at the same address. And then, you know, somebody out there on the ground goes to that address and they find an empty field. Things like this have got to be noticed and challenged. And, you know, by the way, this ability to challenge a vote if you suspect fraud is one of the reasons why taking advantage of early voting actually helps to keep your vote more secure, not less. There's a lot more shenanigans that can go on in the rush of election day. Early voting, don't let that make you think that your vote is less secure. It's actually more secure. All right. And then a couple of other provisions here in Georgia, requiring that ballots in optical scan voting systems use a visible watermark as a security feature. And also, the Secretary of State's office posts ballot images online and expands the number of elections that can be subject to post-election audits. And another bill, requiring Georgia election workers to be U.S. citizens and including protections for the poll watchers and the poll workers. And finally, a bill barring foreign nationals from cutting checks to Georgia politicians, campaigns, and political action committees. So we await the governor there to sign all these measures, and it will really strengthen what's going on there in Georgia for election integrity. Georgia, a key state this year in the presidential race. And you know what the left does? You know, you look at all this unfolding in the state of Georgia, and what does the left come out and say? They attack all these measures and says that they're what? That the measures themselves are an attack on the right to vote. This is their, you know, Biden goes along with this, all the Democrat talking points, you know, oh, they're trying to suppress the vote. Oh, these Republicans trying to suppress the vote. This is so ridiculous if you listen to the things that these measures are actually trying to accomplish. If the record on the voter rolls doesn't represent an actual voter, how is it an attack on the right to vote to want to make that list accurate? These people they have no common sense. You know what that's like to attack these measures as a restriction on the right to vote? Is like saying that to require a driver's license is a restriction on the right to drive. I mean, think about it. The requirement that you have a driver, not only that you have a driver's license, but you have to have it on you. You better have your license ready to show. If you get pulled over, the officer says, show me your license, please. You better be ready to show your license. Would more people be able to drive if we didn't require a driver's license? Yeah, of course. All the people that don't have a license. So is that the only criterion? Is that the only goal? Let's get more and more people driving? Or is there a reason for them to be licensed? It's the same thing. Oh, the right to drive. Yeah, well, we shouldn't have all these nuisance requirements, not only that there be a license, but that it be what? Current, that it not be expired. Oh, well, we have to advance the right to drive. All right. So that's Georgia. So Wisconsin, Georgia. Now let's look at something going on up in Illinois. A lawsuit from our friends at Judicial Watch. Federal court. Oral arguments were just recently heard. And what's the issue? What's that issue there in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals? On whether state officials in Illinois can extend Election Day for 14 days after the date established by what? Carrier pigeon? Hallucination? Personal opinion? No, established by federal law. See, a lot of this revolves around, are we a nation of laws or not? Do we care about the law? Does the law play any part here in deciding what votes get cast? What does federal law say about Election Day? every even-numbered year, there's federal elections on what? The first Tuesday after the first Monday. So if the 1st of November happens to be a Tuesday, the election is actually a week later. It's the second Tuesday because it's the first Tuesday after the first Monday. The first Tuesday after the first Monday of November in even-numbered years is a federal election day. Whole House of Representatives is up for election, a third of the Senate, and in some years, like this one, the presidency and various governors, and there's all different timetables. The difference in the timetables, by the way, is part of the mechanism that the founders put in place in order to avoid tyranny, to avoid the concentration of power to be in one place, to be easily swayed by, you know, a mob mentality that might arise, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. What's unreasonable about this? Some of you that are on the left, if you happen to be tuning in, and what's unreasonable about this exactly? I mean, either we have laws or we don't. If we don't follow laws, like not having laws, what's unreasonable about this? That ballots shouldn't be getting received or sent in, for that matter, 14 days. You could send it in overnight on the 13th day. I mean, what? Why should people still be voting after Election Day? If the law says this is Election Day, what are you doing extending it beyond that? The appeals court was told election law in Illinois allows vote-by-mail ballots received up to 14 days after the polls close on Election Day to be counted as if they were cast and received on or before Election Day. Even vote-by-mail ballots without postmarks should be counted if received up to 14 calendar days after Election Day, if the ballots are dated on or before Election Day. However, the plaintiffs in this case say what? That ballots received after Election Day, pursuant to the Illinois receipt deadline, are illegal and invalid. These ballots are as invalid as if they were received 1 year after Election Day, because they violate the federal Election Day statutes. Enough fooling around. We want closure on Election Day. I mean, we want to be law-abiding citizens. And we want closure at the end of the day on Election Day. I mean, but otherwise, what does it mean to have an Election Day? You have Election Day, but oh, folks, yeah. Well, we'll just keep counting for the next 2 weeks. Enough of this. So we pray for the success of that case, and that's what we're going to pray about, all these things now. And finally, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, there's another court case that just concluded successfully. Now, the NAACP, Lord have mercy on these people, sued Pennsylvania in 2022. Why did they sue Pennsylvania? Okay. Because the Secretary of the Commonwealth in 2022 decided that it would be void for ballots to be counted that are either missing a date on the outer envelope or have an incorrect date. Again, what's unreasonable about this? Why is the NAACP saying that the mail-in ballots are valid regardless of the incorrect or missing date and should be counted? You see, in the November 2022 election, there were about 10,000 mail-in ballots that were not accepted. Why not? Well, because we have to count legal votes. And these were missing the dates on the outer envelope or had incorrect dates. Are we going to have standards or not? Are we going to draw lines or not? The left doesn't care about any of this. They don't care about drawing lines. They don't care about anything except their own power. But this was a significant victory because the court said, Federal Appeals Court, Pennsylvania should only count mail-in ballots that are signed and dated. Again, a key pillar of election integrity, there are several. One is voter identification. The other one is signature verification. Who is it, in other words, that's sending in this ballot Again, NAACP, would you please stop messing things up? Would you please stop being so stupid? Would you please stop insulting our intelligence? Would you please stop it? Suing the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. What? Why don't you sue them for, I don't know, having an election day at all? Hey, free for all. 365 days of the year. Because you don't like who won the election. So you know what? Hey, listen, it doesn't matter. We just see, we saw who won. We don't like it. We're going to send in a vote after the fact. And that should be counted because every vote's got to be counted. Again, every driver should drive, right? To hell with licenses. What difference does that make? Oh, that's an unnecessary burden. Would you please? Brothers and sisters, this gets me so annoyed. You got these people and these groups and these organizations that got nothing better to do than to mess things up and to impose insanity on our system, on our elections. This is what these people do. They're stupid. They're corrupt. All they want is power. And they just come in and they just mess things up. That's all they do all day long, all night long. They're thinking of more ways to mess things up. We are people of reason. We are people of law and order. We want elections conducted validly. Of course, we want all votes to count. But there's a process by which a vote will be valid and legal in the United States of America. And we are going to insist on the integrity of that process. So I wanted to bring you up to date on these matters. Good news coming out of these states. More good news preceded that. More will follow. Legislative sessions are still happening, although many of them are moving towards conclusion now. But things will still be able to see more things like this in the coming weeks and months. Let's pray. Lord God, we do pray for success in those cases that are still ongoing right now. We, the people of God, invoke the Holy Spirit that those cases that are still underway, that reason will prevail, that justice will prevail, that order and law will prevail, that election integrity will prevail. Lord God, please deliver us from the insanity of those who would challenge basic election laws. They want to extend and expand election day like you expand silly putty. They want to just allow everything, anything goes. Lord, send your spirit. We the people of God, invoke the Holy Spirit on the courts, on the attorneys, on everything, on the whole entire process. And we ask you to help us, Lord, to find integrity and to enjoy security for our elections. We thank you for all the work that has been done. The legislators in Georgia, for example, the vote in Wisconsin, all these measures that have brought about success in making it more secure to vote and increasing the confidence of people in the vote and making it harder to cheat and steal. Lord, finally, we ask blessing upon the entire people, all the voters of this nation. We ask, Lord God, today, we pray fervently right now, knowing that what two or three ask, you promised that you would hear, that you would grant. Lord God, we ask today to banish the spirit of apathy and discouragement and doubt. Banish that spirit. Let no one even nurture the thought that, oh, it's better for me not to vote at all, or, oh, my vote's not going to count because they're going to cheat. Lord God, we have a duty to you and to one another to do everything we can to make a change in this nation. We have a duty to you, to our family, our children, our grandchildren. We have a duty to our fellow citizens to do everything in our power to save this nation. And something in our power is our vote. It's not about what somebody else is or isn't going to do. It's first about whether we are going to do our duty. Lord God, let your people rise up in confidence and employ the mechanism that you've placed in our hands to choose our leaders and choose our laws. We pray all this in the name of Jesus the Lord, and we now invoke you, Father, as he taught us to do. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks, friends, for joining us. Let's keep praying for election integrity. Let's keep working for it. Keep talking to your fellow citizens about making this election too big to rig. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.